Colossians chapter 3. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We'll read most of it, so we've got to hurry, and I want you to listen real good, okay? And if you got any questions afterward, ask Billy.
That's right.
Amen. Colossians chapter 3, if you will. Colossians chapter 3. I told somebody the other day, please come to church. I said, if you don't like it, Billy Burgess will give you your money back. And they said, I don't know him. I said, good. Right, before we get started, I need to clear up one thing. I got this letter in the mail. And I tell y'all, I don't like to be out on Sunday. I was out last Sunday, and here's the reason I don't like to be out on Sunday. I am looking to fill the pulpit where God chooses me to be. I heard that you were looking for a pastor, and I would be honored to be considered for the pastor position at your church. Here's my resume. Now, what I want to know is who put the ad in the paper. Danny did. That's why he laid out of church today. Amen. Amen. I'm out one Sunday. One Sunday. That's all it takes. I'm going to send him a letter back. And I'm going to say, despite popular opinion, I'm alive and doing well. You can't have this job. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. You can come on in if you want to. If the babies get upset, you know where the nursery is. Or you can stay right there. I don't care how you want to do it. Colossians chapter 3. Now I want you to listen now. Pay close attention. I want to talk to you. Now this morning I preached pretty hard. And I understand that. And I'm going to do that same subject hard again next week and the next week and the next week. And because people need to know about hell. It's the forgotten doctrine. And then tonight, though, Sunday night, I assume most people that come want to be even better Christians. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you for just a little bit about real Christian living. Real Christian living. Not much of it nowadays. There's so much unbiblical or, at the best, ignorant preaching and teaching on Christian living that the people of God are starving. They're starving to death spiritually because there's so little teaching. So let's start off and then we'll pray. Chapter 3, look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Let's pray. Now, I'm not going to read all these scriptures, read them sometime this week, but in Colossians chapter 3, the whole chapter is real Christian living. If you take away the flashing lights and the cold smoke, and the clapping hands, and the jumping up and down, and all that noise, in most churches, you don't even have Christianity. In most churches, it's entertainment. When you come to preaching about, teaching about, talking about real Christian living, you're labeled. You're labeled as a troublemaker. You're labeled as a fanatic. You're labeled as a lunatic. You're labeled at a legalist. You're labeled at ignorant. When really it's the other way around. We're not the ones that are ignorant. They're the ones that are ignorant. And so therefore, when you teach on this, the devil doesn't like it. Worldly Christians don't like it. Hireling preachers certainly don't like it. But it's what's needed. Once people get saved, they need to know how to be Christians. Just because you got saved does not mean that you'll start paying your bills next week. If you didn't pay your bills before you got saved, you're not going to do it after you get saved unless somebody teaches you how to be a Christian with your finances. Just because you got saved does not mean that you're going to get away from that old crowd unless somebody teaches you to come out from among them, be you separate. So real Christian living looks a lot different than modern day Christian living. Say amen right there. Yes. Now, the first thing you've got to do in verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. We have to kill this body. You got to kill it. We read it this morning. If your hand offends you and keeps you out of heaven and it takes you to hell, cut your hand off. You'd be better off without your hand than have two and go to hell. Amen. If your foot offends you and that's what keeps you from being saved, cut your foot off. You'd be better off not to have a foot and go to heaven than to have 2 feet in hell. Amen. And the same with the eye and such. So we have to, as Christians, mortify this body. Now, that's what the mortician does. You know what he does? He drains things out of your body. When you take your body to the mortician, they'll put a line in it and they will drain you, because your flesh corrupts quicker with blood in it than it does with something else in it. And so therefore, they drain your body, that mortician does. He mortifies your body. He drains it of that life-giving blood that's not working anymore because your heart has stopped. And he fills your veins up with something else. Formaldehyde used to be. I don't know what it is now. So he mortifies your body. Now, when you got saved, there's some things you ought to drain out. You ought to get rid of them. And at all costs, you ought to get rid of them, because if you don't, it's the same as that mortician working with that dead body. If he does not get that blood out, that body is going to decay, may I say, to have a nice word, a lot quicker than if he take the blood out. If he left it in there, it's going to decay a lot quicker. And it's the same way as a Christian. When you got saved, you better start draining some things out of your life pretty quick, because if you don't, you might be saved, but you're going to be a dead Christian. Amen? So he says, mortify your body. Here's what you put a line in and drain out. I got a picture of this in my, see my notes here. It can't be long. You know, I got these two sticky notes and just can't be long. Yeah, that's usually the longest one of that. But I got this picture that guy at the mortuary, you know, he'll put a line in there and he'll start draining you out and all that stuff in that jug. And I just have a picture of a person just got saved, and they plunge a vein, you know, puncture it and start draining out all these things. Now, preacher, what are you going to drain out? Well, look at it with me at verse 5. He says, mortify your body. Now, here's how. And this is what you do. Fornication. You know what that is. Sexual relations outside of marriage. Y'all got to excuse me. I got to pick up something. I'm glad we ain't uptown. I'd got fired. That guy would have got my job already. Preach like a novice. But verse 5 again. He says, mortify this. Fornication. Uncleanness, which is again sexual sins of all unclean kind. You know what he's talking about. Father doesn't lay with his daughter, daughter with the father, you know, son with the mama. These things are in the Old Testament. The law had to be made so that people wouldn't do this stupid stuff. And so therefore, all this unclean living that people do, you'd be shocked what people do after they're saved and they think they're Christians. Man used to come here, was shacked up with a woman. Can I say shacked up? Around here I can say shacked up. Some church you go to won't let you say shacked up. They were cohabitating without the benefit of the marriage certificate. They were shacking up, okay? And they come here, and he wanted to be a deacon. He said, I was a deacon at my other church. I said, well, you're shacking up. You're not going to be a deacon here. And then they went to another church after they left here, and they sent me word later that church made him a deacon. Hey, I don't think there's the pastor in that church probably needs to get saved. Amen. And then not only that, inordinate affection. That's affection that you ought not have for things. Not just, and there's all kinds of things could be in there. Bestiality is becoming a big thing again since homosexual came out into the open. And pedophile has become a big thing now since it came out in the open. And all kind of weird stuff. If you watch those TVs where men dress up like women and they call it drag or drag queens and all that junk, and you laugh at that, that's as wrong as buying a pint of liquor. Amen. Amen. All kind of stuff. Well, preacher, I didn't know you were going to say all this. Well, somebody's got to say it. Amen. Amen. Evil concupiscence. I never can pronounce the word. Compute. Help me. Concupiscence. No, that's close enough. Amen. That's close enough. Most of y'all hillbillies don't know the difference anyway. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Now look at this, verse 6. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He said, you need to get this stuff out. You need to crucify yourself, your flesh. Drain this stuff out. Or the wrath of God is going to come on you. Now that's to the child of God. That's not to the homosexual or the pedophile. That's to the child of God. You're going to have to mortify your flesh. You're going to have to get rid of these things, or else. Well, got quiet on that, didn't it, brother? Or else. The wrath of God is revealed against sin, whether it's child of God or not child of God. Now, he said you got to drain them out. Now look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 and 7. In verse 6 and 7, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of what? Say it to me, class. What? Not lost people, but children of God who are disobedient. The children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now that's supposed to be your past, not your present. Now I know when you got saved you wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect. We're still not perfect. And every day we have to ask God to forgive us of sins of omission as well as commission. And don't think you've arrived yet. You haven't. But these are some things named that we should not be guilty of. And if we are, then the wrath, the chastened hand of God, Hebrews chapter 12, is going to come on us. You ever hear anybody say this? They barely go to church. They probably couldn't quote you 1.5 scriptures. They live wrong. They claim to be Christian. And you go see them because of some tragedy or some terrible time in their life. Not that all tragedy or terrible times are chastening. But at that time, you look at them and you think, what is it going to take to get you right with God? You're saved, you're on the way to heaven, but you've not mortified these deeds. Amen? Amen. Now, everybody that's saved doesn't live right. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody that's saved is not living like they're saved. And sometimes, you know, you'll be talking to people and they'll say, does old so-and-so to go to your church? And you'll say, yeah. They'll say, if she's a Christian, the woods is full of them. You ever heard that? Amen. That's because they're living like this. But yet they're claiming to be children of God. And they probably are children of God. But the wrath of God is being poured out on them. And they're being chastened by God. And because of that, their circumstances reveal it. And when you try to help them, Brother Billy, what do? They get mad at you. Because they get convicted. Amen? And they go to church on Sunday morning. And the pastor preaches on hell, and it gets hot, and it gets heavy, and it gets long. And when they leave, they're mad at the pastor because he preached on something they ought to be telling people about themselves, but they haven't done it. And because they live so stinking worldly, nobody would listen to them if they did say it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I remember I read a book about this guy who got saved, who was a heroin addict. He was a famous man. I can't remember his name now. He was in New York City. Later on became a preacher. But he was a heroin addict. And he said, this person got him to go to church and he got gloriously saved. Said he was saved. He knew he was saved. Said he knew God had given him a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit, and he knew it. But he kept running with that same old crowd. So when they would pass the needle, he'd take it and push it too. He said, so... But he always wanted to talk about how he got saved. Everywhere he went, he was a heroin addict that wanted to talk about being saved. Everywhere he went, that's what he wanted to talk about. So finally, he said, the Lord convicted me. I was sitting in a shooting gallery. That's like a crack house. And he said, we were all sitting on the floor, and they were passing the needle. And I was telling this guy beside me how I got saved and how wonderful it is to know you're going to heaven. And the guy beside him said, just give him the needle and he'll shut up. He said, right then, the Spirit of God convicted me, and I said, I don't need this. And I threw it down and walked away from it, and I never went back. Amen. 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 So, God does chasten His children. God does pour out His wrath on His children. And look at... I got to hurry. I'm running out of time. You're not listening fast enough. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, He says, but now ye also put off all these. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You're asking me to do too much. Now, preacher, I done put off fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, whatever, covetousness, which is... It's hard for a boy from Lancaster to pronounce that word. I know what it means. I just can't pronounce it. He said, now, I've done all that, but now, preacher, you're asking me to do something else? Yeah. Look at it. Verse 8, He said, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now there you have it. Now you mortified your flesh. Now it's time to start taking things off. Take these things. Don't be clothed with these things. Don't be labeled or recognized by these things. Don't let these things be your testimony. There are some Christians. This is their testimony. They have evil communication. They lie. Amen. Come on, help me. They're angry. I know some Christians right now, they're carrying a chip on their shoulder, big as a 6 foot long 2x4, wanting somebody to knock it off so they can be mad. Amen. And they get mad because nobody made them mad. Amen. They go to church and the preacher preached and get mad because the preacher didn't preach at them. I'm telling you. He said, put this stuff off. Get rid of this stuff. You've been down to the mortuary. You've laid your body on the altar. God, the Holy Ghost, has drained you of all these other things. Now, here's your testimony. Put these things out of your testimony. And most of them, by the way, come from your mouth. Amen? That's why James said, if you can bridle this, you can bridle the whole body. And that's a fire set on of hell. Amen? Amen. Amen. There's all kinds of things I can say about that. But anyway, if you will, real quick, look at verse 10. Have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, what he's saying, put on the new man that's renewed in the what? In the image of him who created him. In the image of Christ. Amen. That's why they call us Christians. You say, well, you can't judge somebody by the way they look. That's not what this says. Whoa, it got quiet on that one, didn't it? My goodness, I thought I was with a bunch of saved, mortified people. Amen? Listen, you can judge a book by its cover. Amen? Don't pick up a Playboy. Amen? Come on, help me. You can judge a book by its cover. Got cussing on the front, it's going to have cussing on the inside. Amen? Have you got nudity on the front? He'll have nudity on the inside. Am I still preaching the Baptist? Amen. Listen. He says that we're to be put on the image of Christ, our Creator. We're to look like Christ. As well as talk like Christ. As well as act like Christ. We ought to be able to be accused of being a Christian. Amen. Most of the Christians that belong to churches today that say they're Christians, if they went to court to prove whether or not they were guilty of being a Christian, most of them would not be found guilty. You say, how do you know? Just look at them. A girl called me and said, Pastor, would you? I want to get married. Would you marry me and this young man that we want to get married? And I said, well, I don't know anything about him. I know you. I don't know anything about him. I said, I'd have to know about him. I said, does he even go to church? Because I knew she did. Said she was saved. She never went to church. Oh, he's very religious. I said, how do you know? She said, he's got religious tattoos all over, up and down his arms. I said, "That ain't got nothing to do with it. Is he saved?" His religion he was wearing on his tattoos. But I'm saying this, we ought to be conformed to the image of Christ. You ain't going to hear him running around cussing and backbiting and slandering and fussing and angry all the time. Amen? Amen. And he's already told us to mortify our sexual and physical things. Now he's telling us to mortify or put off these other things. Now, if you will, look at verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore. Now he's telling you what to put on. Preacher, you can't tell me what to put on. I don't have to. He will. Amen? You get saved. You get right with God. You mortify your flesh. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to put on. Come on, help me, ladies. It's turned out now every preacher that preaches like this is a masochist. I don't know what that means. Don't know how to spell it. If I'm guilty, amen. 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 I am fanatical. I am homophobic. I'm Islamophobic. Phobic. But I can tell you this. He says, put on, therefore, is the elect of God. Uh-oh, here it is. Holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies. Mean you love people from the innermost. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now he told us what to mortify, to drain out. He told us what to put off. Now he's telling us what to put on. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't care what you say. These are the identification marks of a child of God in the will of God, trying to love God and love people right here. Holy and beloved. God loves you special because you're living special. Yes, God does have, yes, he does have favorites in his family. Abraham was one. Moses was one. Elijah was one. Elisha was one. He has favorites. Why? Because they wanted to be holy and more holy. They wanted to be more like God. Now, you can't live like the world or like one preacher said it, you can't eat with the buzzards and soar with the eagles. Amen? Now, he said we need to put some things off. We need to get rid of them, and then we need to put some things on. And those things are a Christ-like spirit, kindness, humbleness, merciful, meek, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving. And by the way, he said, if a man have a quarrel against you, he didn't say, if the man asks you to forgive him. I heard a grunt or two on that one. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit groaning utterance, which we groaning prayers which cannot be uttered. It was, oh me. There's only two things you can say in a message like this, oh me or amen. Now, what would be Christ-like? Now, look, we can be holy, and we can be right, and still be humble and loving and gentle and kind and forgiving and long-suffering because Christ was. And he tells us, this is what I want you to put on right here. So you had a bad life before you got saved. So there is evidence of it. Maybe you got all them tattoos. Maybe you got stud holes all over your face. I told you about that boy I went to visit one time. His wife or girlfriend, whatever she was coming to church, and I knocked on that trailer door, and it was open, but nobody come to the door. Music was playing. I turned the walk off, and this guy come walking around the corner of the trailer. He said, "Hey, what do you want?" I said, "Man, how many people got killed in that car wreck?" He said, "What car wreck?" I said, "That one where you slammed your face in the dash and got all that metal in it." That's exactly what I said. I can say that. I took him to camp when he was a kid. He didn't look like that. He started laughing. He said, I like you, preacher. I said, I want you to come to church. He said, I don't do church. I said, I notice your wife's there every Sunday. You ain't there. He said, well, that's what my wife does. I said, she wants you to come to church. He said, yeah, I know it. I said, you need to come. He said, I can't come. I said, why? He said, people will look at me. I said, son, people's already looking at you. Why you think you did that? You wanted people to look at you. Amen. He had them tattoos. Didn't have a shirt on. He had tattoos all over him. I said, boy, what are you going to do when you get old and all that gravity takes over and all that stuff starts to drop and droop and the eagle looks like a buzzard or a chicken? He said, done figured it out, preacher. Duct tape. I said, come to church. He said, all right, I'll come to church. But if anybody says anything, I said, ain't nobody going to say nothing to you. I said, my church is full of old sinners that got saved by the grace of God. Ain't nobody going to talk to you. I said, do, I'll slap them in Jesus' name. You come on. And so he came. He had all them things. And then he came back. And there was one or two missing. Then he came back. And there was another missing. Then he came back. And there was another missing. Then he came back. And there was another. Pretty soon he didn't have any. You know why? He was putting off all the old stuff. And he was putting on the new. He got saved when he was a little boy at camp. When he went to camp was a little boy, he got saved. He didn't know what saved was. Then he began to come to church and he began to mortify that flesh. And look, that's what he's talking about. We're new creatures. We're not that old creature, brother. No. No, we're not that old creature. And we ought not act like it. We ought not talk like it. We ought not behave like it. We ought to be Christ-like in everything. Some smart aleck put something, a bunch of smart alecks. That's not what we called them in Lancaster when I was growing up. Smart alecks. Put a little note on one of my Facebook posts about the King James Bible. Made fun of what I said. Yeah, yeah. And it claims to be some kind of preacher. And I said, let me ask you something. What kind of Bible do you use? He said, I use them all. I said, well, where is your final authority? Where is it that you go for the final word? He said, God. I deleted and blocked that unbeliever so quick. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He doesn't have a personal line to heaven. But he's the same one that criticizes every time you say something about how we ought to look and how we ought to behave. And he'll criticize that and make fun of us. There's a lot of them doing that nowadays. But hey, unless you mortify that flesh and drain it of some things, and then unless you get, hey, that'll get God off your back right there. And then unless you put on some things Christ-like, you are going to have a defeated, worldly Christian life. You will never be happy. You'll never have complete assurance. You'll never get your prayers answered like you want them answered until you kill that flesh and put off some things and put on some Christ-likeness. And then you can love people like you'll love people. You'll love them enough to tell them the truth. I preached on hell this morning. I'm convinced that the reason we don't tell more people about hell is because we don't love them enough to try to keep them out of hell.
Right.
It's not that we're afraid of what they're going to say. It's afraid we're afraid they're going to get saved. Danny tells y'all that story about him praying for his boss man, you know, and his boss man had that turnaround. But y'all don't remember, he used to come in here every Sunday and say, I'm praying for my boss man to get an ulcer that big around with my name on it. Y'all remember that? And I'd say, Danny, don't do that. Pray for your boss man to be saved and give him a Pepsi Cola every day and tell him you love him, you're praying for him, and it'll turn him around. I don't know if I can do that. I said, you can do that. That's how he got him turned around, was loving him. Instead of praying God would pour out his wrath on him. I'm firmly convinced if we'll put on these things, mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, I'm the dinosaur in this town. And you go to the dinosaur's church.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I've been called everything. I've been accused of everything. I don't know anything I haven't been accused of. But I can tell you this. If you'll mortify your flesh and put Christ in its place and be Christ-like, you'll outlive and outlast your false accusers. One day they're going to be gone under the wrath of God and you'll still be here. Amen?
Amen.
You'll outlast your critics if you do it like Christ would do it. You'll outlast your critic. You'll do it. I guarantee it. And by the way, I plan on living long enough to preach all your funerals, so when it happens, you can come tell me.
Amen.
It might be 20 years from now. I don't know. But for the sake of time, I'm going to quit. But you know, when you learn how to mortify your flesh, drain it, get that stuff out, then you replace it with some God-like qualities, then you put on some Christ-likeness, you'll find out you'll get the victory over all circumstances. And you'll be a happy Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I just want you to be that this week. And I'm going to quit right there. It's late, and I know all y'all got to go. But I want to encourage you. There's folks sick this week, and pray for them. And everybody in here is under attack, so pray one for another. But let's be Christ-like. Will you do that? Let's stand. Father, you know what we